And you are very welcome back to Northside Today. It is just coming up on 11:30 a.m. Time flies when you're having fun. Now, Seana Cahill is the president of the USI, Union of Students in Ireland. And they are a little bit more than peeved, let us say, with the Dublin City Councillors, who have voted to prevent student accommodation planning permission being sought during the current housing crisis. Good morning, Seana. How are you?
Good morning, Tony.
Have I got that right? Is my take correct on your position in relation to the Dublin City Councillors?
Absolutely. And I suppose anyone listening this morning in Dublin will know that there's significant accommodation shortage, not only for students, but in the private rental sector. There's an awful problem trying to access accommodation, and indeed any kind of accommodation, whether it be good quality or not. And we're very disappointed, quite frankly, at a vote that was held by Dublin City Councillors last Monday, in which they extended the requirements for planning permission for student accommodation, so that you had to have a kilometre essentially between blocks of student accommodation, and it's a massive blow to the requirements, because we would have always said that essentially moving students into purpose-built student accommodation really did free up so much of the private rental sector. And it's we're dismayed and very disappointed at, you know, the vote that was taken last Monday, because essentially, by doing this, they're really, creating further problems for the private rental market in Dublin.
And as a matter of interest, and I know, that you are obviously very well educated and a very reasonable person, you wouldn't hold the position you have otherwise. So, from their point of view, can you see any logic in what they have done?
Well, one point of argument was that it would kind of disrupt communities, that there would be maybe too many students in a particular area. But the reality is the same concern was raised in relation to student apartments built for Trinity Hall in Rathgar a number of years ago. A number of members of the local community did protest that, about this sense of this kind of like an over-concentration of students. But in fact, today, if you look at it, that the Trinity Hall there, it accommodates over 1,000 students, but it's very well integrated into the community and does offer, really good student housing in a way that the students do engage with the local community in a very positive way. I mean, that's what we're like. I mean, we're not about just, ramming hundreds of students or thousands of students into an area to cause disruption. Anywhere this has been done, it's been done well, it's been thought out, it's been thought through. But 1 kilometre distance in the city centre, in a very concentrated urban area, between student blocks of housing, is really, really problematic, because we have there's a number of, private purpose-built student buildings in the planning process at the moment, and this kind of block coming from county councillors is really concerning, because we do need that accommodation built. And again, communities locally are finding it very difficult, with the lack of housing available in areas. And we think that if you build purpose-built accommodation for students, you get rid or you free up a lot of that of the housing sector, and so that communities and families can actually move into those areas, and that students can be concentrated in a block in itself. So ultimately, we've seen examples. I referenced Trinity Hall, where this is working, where students aren't disrupting the local area, and it's a bad stereotype to be frank. It's very, very damaging to say that students are hooligans or creating madness in an area. That's not what's happening, and it's not what's been seen to happen either when student accommodation has been built.
Yeah, well, I mean, we would all agree, I think, that stereotyping any particular group is not good. Now, since we spoke the other day to set up this interview, I have been racking my brain and all over the weekend thinking about it. And the only conclusion that I can come to in relation to this is that if you suspend the building of student accommodation, you may free up those builders to build housing or family homes or whatever they want to call them at the moment for the 8,000 people who are in emergency accommodation. That is the only thing that I see out of this, because I mean, I think it's pretty well acceptable that there is a ferocious shortage of skilled labour in the building trades in this country, because they've all gone during the recession.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, there is, I mean, there, you do have a point there, but essentially, the kind of contracts we're talking about were contracts set up for student purpose-built accommodations, very specific type of accommodation that's really only suitable for students. And yes, there's not only a significant number of very vulnerable people, homeless people in Dublin City Centre, or those waiting on county council waiting lists for social housing. We would work very, very closely with the government and with the department around the National Student Accommodation Strategy with the Department of Education and Skills. And essentially, what that strategy is supposed to do is not about prioritising students over anyone else, but it's about saying, listen, this is the number of student beds that are absolutely required in an area because there's a university or an IT nearby. And so they're going to be here anyway. So let's like house them and then ensure that we free up those other you know, housing units and home units for people who do require them, and for families and for people who might be on an emergency list, etc. So I mean, it's trying to work in a kind of a well-balanced way with the local community and with the local authorities to ensure that we're providing the beds that are required for students and freeing up those housing units. And absolutely, I mean, your point is right in relation to the construction sector. You know, there's a lot of people who are left out of work for so long, who are very much on the brink, who do require the construction sector to take off again in Dublin, in the city centre there and in urban areas. But cancelling and blocking purpose-built accommodation is not the way to provide accommodation for everybody else. This is, you know, providing students with accommodation and essentially getting them into that purpose-built type of building really does free up the rest of the sector, and that's what we want.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally take your point, and it's very well made, actually, that, you know, if you proceed with the student accommodation, that you will actually relieve a small bit of the pressure on the private rental sector, because that seems to be a busting point at the moment. Like, it is just not out there, let's be honest. And I mean, we are hearing horrific stories of price, what I would almost term price gouging in the private rentals industry. I mean, I've heard stories of people who are now sleeping in their own kitchens on an airbed so that they can rent out bedrooms at with four beds in each room, and they're charging €300 a month for that.
Yeah, there's horror stories, Tony, going around, particularly in Dublin City Centre, and we're seeing a lot of them come in, affecting students, obviously, where there's bunk beds and all sorts of cracks going on. And it's just the idea that anyone would think that's right for anyone to be living in that kind of condition, you know, where you've got, you know, nearly 10 people to one toilet. And like, it's not good enough, to be frank. And we do a lot of work with an organisation called the Private Residential Tenancies Board, and for any landlords who are listening, we would really do encourage you to get registered with the PRTB, because at that point, you know, you do have rights not only as a landlord but also as a tenant or a student tenant in that accommodation. And the basic stuff has to be supplied, and this stuff of cramming people into rooms, that can't go on. It certainly can't go on at this stage, at the rate it's going on. The quality of the accommodation that we're seeing, the quantity of it, and obviously the price then attached to it, as you mentioned there yourself, Tony, it's scandalous what's happening and what is being allowed to happen because of this shortage. And so why we're so concerned about this kind of blockage from the county council is the fact that this further impacts the shortage that we have. Like, we're really only just getting more of those beds on stream, and blocking those beds and getting those students into purpose-built accommodation is just not helping anybody. And we really do need to make sure that, you know, all these young people who are trying to, you know, get on with their lives and, you know, get an education for themselves and work hard, have a bed, a suitable bed to stay in while they're in college.
And is there any way of reversing this decision taken last Monday?
We are contacting county councillors at the moment. We are you know, doing a lot of lobby efforts to speak to them to see what can be done. But as of yet, we're unsure about the future of a number of those student accommodation blocks due to this decision.
And one other thing before I let you go, and I really do appreciate your time this morning. We know that with the educational system in this country that, you know, colleges sort of finish up May and they come back in October. So the bulk of these rooms, I imagine, would be vacant during those periods. Could they be put to use during out of college hours?
Yeah, well, we do see, it does depend, obviously, because it's a private rental sector situation. We do see in colleges that have similar kind of on-campus accommodation to provide those rooms then for a lot of foreign language students who come over to Ireland to learn English during the summer. So they often are used for that. They can often be used for summer camps or other events. Particularly if it's in an urban area, I don't think there'd be any problem renting them out on a private basis if that was required. But each of the individual contracts will have its own organisation about what it's going to do during the summer months. But as I said, a very likely situation would be groups of foreign language students and other events or groups that would be in Dublin City for the summer renting a number of the rooms that are in there. But of course, there is the availability of maybe speaking to Dublin City Council or county councils that are in a local area to see what other groups might be able to use them for the summer period.
And one other thing before you go, Sheena. We'll say a student who is lucky enough to be able to get one of these apartments in the purpose-built student accommodation, student who is out there fighting in the for accommodation in the private rental sector, on a monthly basis, roughly now, and I know you can't be 100% accurate in this, but a ballpark figure, what would the difference in what they're paying be?
To be honest, I can't actually give you a figure. You're looking at costs upwards from €500 a month anyway for most students. And, you know, even anyone who's listening today will say that very few people get rent at that kind of level now, particularly in Dublin City Centre. The cost has absolutely spiraled and it's kind of gone out of control with landlords charging anything they want, essentially. And, you know, we're very, very disappointed about that as well, because it has become unfathomable completely inaccessible for so many students and young people and indeed their families who are trying to help them and support them through college. So, I mean, we're always talking about this. We're always talking about the financial situation of students, and indeed, next week on October 4th, there'll be thousands of students marching in Dublin for a demonstration for a publicly funded education, because all of this does come into the question of, you know, access to education and affordability, because even if a student or a family receives the grant, you know, it's still not enough to cover some of the basics. And for those students who and families who don't receive the grant, they pay €3,000 in fees per year, per sibling, often at the same time. But accommodation rolls right into that. So, you know, the IT Campus Life survey would suggest that, you know, you're paying up to €12,000, if not more, a year per student, which includes the accommodation. And in fact, accommodation takes up a lot of that kind of cost. But the cost of living goes, and cost of being a student goes far beyond the €3,000 registration fee. But on the streets of Dublin on the 4th, which is Wednesday next week, we'll be certainly calling for that situation to be changed.
Yeah, and of course the problem with that, Sheena, and just listening to your answer in relation to that one specific question, is we are in danger of third level education becoming the preserve of the wealthy again, and that's something that we would certainly want to avoid.
Absolutely, Tony, and we're very concerned about that. The government at the moment are talking about bringing in a loan scheme, and we've looked at the examples and the research in the UK and Australia where this is happening. I won't even mention America, and really just what has happened in those countries in relation to access. Particularly, I mean, you mentioned people in construction earlier. Mature students, people who are over 23 who want to return to college to get to upskill or anything like that, a student loan scheme for them would absolutely remove their ability to go back to college, because essentially you'll be charged the full amount for your degree per year, which means, in essence, that you would be coming out of college after 4 years you know, up to €20,000 in debt to be paid back. And we just don't think it's a tenable situation for the majority of people in the country. And really what we need to be making sure is that access to education, you know, is as broad as possible, that it, it shouldn't be based on your socioeconomic ability, because if we want to be able to give everybody the opportunity to upskill and to provide, you know, in, as part of the workforce in this country, so that we can continue to have a sustainable tax system, then really what we need to make sure is that people are educated enough to be in good jobs to contribute to that system.
Well, I thoroughly agree with you, but I am sorry to say that a report today shows that house prices in Dublin are increasing by something in the region of €500 per day. So I think that it's going to get a hell of a lot worse before it gets better. And I, to be
there's quite certainly a battle ahead of us.
To be quite honest, I don't see anybody coming up with real tangible solutions. As a, it seems to be a sticking plaster being put over an open wound, Shauna.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us on Northside today. It was lovely to talk to you, and thank you for being so informative for us.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Bye-bye.